Welcome to another edition of the Coffee Cast with Cation, sponsored by New Balance. Appreciate their support over the last couple of months. And also, if you are interested, you can check out our new Patreon. Patreon's just a way to essentially buy the coffee for the Coffee Cast. So we want to make sure we thank our supporters, the new supporters, Melanie Rubin, Charles Carew, Kathy Mardula, and my good friend Corey Popeye Allen. Went by Popeye Jones when I was on the radio with him because it was a basketball player that he thought his name was hilarious, named Popeye Jones.
Interesting.
That voice, Tennis Sandgren, first guest of 2018. This has been a long time coming. First off, congratulations on your new sponsorship with Mizuno. You are decked head to toe. I know that's been a long time coming for you.
Yeah, they make some great stuff, and I'm excited to be with them, and you know, they're going to hook me up with some more stuff going into the Australian Open, and I'm excited about it. The shoes are awesome. It's nice to not order shoes off of Tennis Warehouse. It's nice to get shoes. Not something I'm used to, and it's the little things like that that make you feel maybe like you're a player.
We try not to talk too much about tennis. On this particular podcast, more just to, you know, give you guys as players a voice. But, you know, obviously with all of the work you did put in on the court, that is a perk that comes along with it. And I'm sure that is it's nice to have a tangible reward that's associated with the fact that you did put in that kind of work.
Yes, yeah. In what seems like they're in a realm that doesn't have a lot of tangible rewards sometimes, and a lot of it is almost existential in a way, like you're just battling your own journey sometimes. To have things like that, to have something like that come through is definitely rewarding to say the least, and grateful for it, because I've spent a lot of years not having that kind of a thing. So
you're on coffee number 2 of the day. I'm actually on coffee number 4 of the day. What are you drinking?
Does that mean you win the Coffee Cast outright?
Yes.
Is this a competition?
And that's been the Coffee Cast. I win.
4-2, I'm down. 4-2. Well, this is a large Americano or long black. They call it long black.
Yeah.
Here, it's an Americano in the U.S. and basically everywhere else. But I think a large would have 2 shots. I'm hoping it's not 1 shot and just more water than a small.
Yeah.
That would be a little frustrating. So technically this is my 3rd shot, which I don't know how many shots of espresso you're getting in your coffee drinks, but maybe it's 4-3. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like 10-3. I'm not sure.
This one was a 2-shotter. I actually went mocha just because I needed some sort of variety after going a couple of flat whites.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I'm trying to mix it up a little bit. Their coffee here is just different.
Yep.
And
it tastes sunburned. I don't think like sun soaked, like what would be a dried out raisin over a grape kind of thing. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I will say that I started the year in India, and one of my favorite parts about India was the strength of the coffee.
Really?
Their coffee was very good. I was very excited about that. Coffee is one of my favorite things and things to enjoy. We don't get a lot of those because I can't do things. I have to, I don't have free time to go do stuff. If I have free time, I just can't. I have to be prepared to play at all times, basically.
Yeah.
And so, a cup of coffee every now and then is one of my enjoyable things. And so, when a country has nice coffee, that sits well with me.
Are you do you consider yourself a snob?
No. No.
So you're still content like going to a Starbucks?
Yeah, I'm very content going to Starbucks.
Okay.
Very content going to Starbucks. I'm a snob in that I don't like coffee that's not very good.
Okay.
You know, I can tell. I normally just get black coffee,
and
whether that's either just a couple shots of espresso, an Americano, I'll go get a Pike Place at Starbucks. I try and keep it very low maintenance because one, it's low calories.
I mean, yes.
If you just get a black coffee or espresso, you're not getting the calorie intake
that come along with the milk and the sugar that I'm drinking right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so some of us get to be active and run around like crazy, and that kind of wakes you up. And then some of us have to sit and be entertained by sometimes less than stellar tennis, so which is sometimes your position. So you need the sugary treats.
Listen, let me just say this. In my defense, because I haven't had a mocha today, and I also had a donut today, which is... It's just really awful.
I thought this was your defense.
So, right by my Airbnb in Albert Park, there's a restaurant called Foddy's, which is a gluten-free entirely gluten-free restaurant, and I just randomly was by the Airbnb that I had been staying in, and they take care of me. They actually make American lattes for me. They're just like, we'll take care of you. We know how you Americans like your coffee, which is really, I mean, I appreciate the thought. And today they had, it's apparently just a once a week thing where they make like the high end fancy donuts. And I was just like, I've been gluten free since 2003, 15th wow. year.
Wow.
I might do an anniversary in May. But I have not yet had, is the night Illinois, first night I got sick was the night Illinois won a national championship in tennis.
Really?
So I actually have a date that I can mark it.
Is there like a gluten-free AA where you get like chips every year? Like you have 15th, you're going to collect your 15th
I don't know if
chip.
We can eat those chips. We have to check first. but today it was a fancy donut, and I had not had a fancy donut. Like I know it's a thing right now, and I was just like, yeah, I'm doing it.
Wait, fancy donuts are a thing?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
What have I been missing?
Well, you've
apparently
missed
a lot. Apparently a lot.
But yeah, it's like fancy donuts with, like this, the one I had was a lemon meringue donut. And so they had the meringue on top with the lemon filling. Oh my Lord.
See, this makes me upset because I didn't know this. By the time I figured this out now, I'm sure the next fad will be like fancy brand bars, and then I'm going to be in real trouble. I missed out on the fancy donut fad.
I don't know when your next break is going to be. But just find, like, the first day of your break, if it's a couple of weeks, just find one. Because they're, I mean, you're close enough to Nashville that I know Nashville has, like, all sorts of trendy crap.
Yes,
so.
Trendy crap? Come on, man. Like, it's not a nice thing to say about somebody's city. Not a nice thing at all. How about nice things? How about your city has some nice things? Trendy crap.
Listen, I come from Champaign, and you guys dump on Champaign constantly.
You're comparing Nashville to Champaign now. It's interesting. That's interesting. And you wonder why I dump on Champaign. I like Champaign. I don't dump on Champaign.
No.
The thing about Champaign is I played the Summer Future 2016. And it's actually weird being there in the summer.
Yes.
It's surprisingly enough, I know the winters sometimes are depressing where it's like kind of bleak and gray. But I've come to associate that with Champaign.
Right.
And I don't mind bleak and gray. Actually, sometimes sunny days frustrate me more than nice. The gray days are very low maintenance.
Yes.
You don't even know what time it is.
Yes.
That's fantastic. How cool is that?
And you don't sweat as much.
No. So I've actually come to enjoy that about Champaign. So going there in the summertime when it was sunny and supposedly nice days, I was kind of like, I miss the bleak winters of Champaign. I do. I do. I've come to enjoy that place. It generally means it's the last week of the year which is, I was about to say bittersweet, but it's not bitter at all. It's very sweet. It's like when I lose, I'm done. I get to go home, so it's not that bad.
If you happen to, and I hope you're actually not in Champaign at the end of the year, for your sake, I can direct you to the fancy donut place in Champaign.
Please do.
Pandemonium Donuts.
Please do. Awesome. We'll have to go. We'll get another coffee cast in at Pandemonium Donuts.
So, obviously we don't talk about tennis here too much. And I have been dying to ask you about your gaming, because we've not really talked about that too much in a public setting.
No, yeah.
We talk about it a lot off the
air.
And I have bothered you a lot about trying to, quote-unquote, monetize it or turn it into some way that you can help market yourself.
Yes.
And I wonder two things. A, why not? B, what do you take out of gaming? What does it do for you away from tennis?
Gotcha. Well, why not is, I don't really have a good answer other than maybe a little lazy. You have to take time setting up said thing. You have to set up the overlay and set up the correct interface with people viewing your stream. You can't just do the very first little bootleg option and have it be ugly. Like it's not. That's doing it, but that's not really doing it, right? If you're going to do something, you need to do it correctly so that you might as well not do it, right, at that point, which has kind of been my attitude, is might as well just not do it. If I'm not going to put forth the effort to do it correctly, then you have to be a little annoying and social media it out there. And it's a form of putting yourself out there, essentially, and that's not really my strong suit as far as putting myself out there in that way, like in a monetary way, so to speak. In this world, I have some good content that people would like to see, kind of thing. It's maybe a little self-confidence thing. But it's something that I would like to do. I at home, I actually don't have good enough internet where I live to, it's not even an option.
Yeah.
It's like not an option where I live to get good enough internet to stream and have my FPS be low enough to play.
Uh-huh.
So that's a challenge. I mean, that's a challenge. That's a big deal because where ideally, you know, I mean, on the road, it's hit or miss constantly.
Yeah.
But at home would be where you would be the most productive, I guess. But I can't be because I can't do both at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing that's keeping me from doing that. And then I started playing. I mean, I've been playing video games my whole life, basically my whole life. What, 10, 12, whatever.
Right.
With the Nintendo 64 is the first console I remember having. That thing was awesome. That thing was awesome. Mario 64 is still one of the best games. That and Super Smash Brothers. But I really started playing PC games, and specifically League of Legends is one of my favorite games to play.
Yeah.
When I was out with hip surgery, and I couldn't walk for 30 days, and I started the period before when I was figuring out if I should have surgery or not, or what that looked like, and I kind of wasn't able to play anyway, tennis anyway at the time. So it was like, what the heck am I gonna do? You know, it's free time, and I can't do anything, and I can't really even work out that much because hip hurt.
Right.
So,
right.
And then after surgery, I had all a bunch of free time, and I'm at home, and I can't play, and I can't do stuff. So I was just looking for something to do, and I have a pretty addictive personality.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, pretty addictive personality. So when something piques my interest, whether that be like a series or a book series, a TV series, whatever, I'll binge through it real hard, because that's just kind of how I'm wired. So I got it. I was playing a lot, you know, when I was out, and you know, 5 to 8 hours a day probably, and then when I got healthy enough to play and stuff, I still kept playing.
Yeah.
Because it's enjoyable. It's now at this point now it's just something to do that I can do that's not physically strenuous, and I can do in the evening. I can play in the evening times, and it's kind of a stress reliever, and it's a way to relax, and even though maybe it's not all the time relaxing to play, you get a little hyped up sometimes. Things get a little bit frustrating. Haven't broken a mouse yet, but I've given it a toss.
I'm going to just raise my hand for having done that.
Given it a toss a few times, let's put it that way. But it's just fun, you know. It's just fun. I don't know, maybe as a 26-year-old guy, that's something you are supposed to quote-unquote outgrow at some point, but you know, I have other interests as well, and it's just something I enjoy to do, and between that and Hearthstone, the card game, which is what I've been playing mostly recently, because I didn't even bring my computer with me here because I'm basically traveling around the world. I went over the Atlantic, and then after this tournament, so I'm gonna go over the Pacific,
right.
And we're
right.
gonna go. It's a large thing to carry with me in my laptop. It's pretty large, and you know, I don't even know what Wi-Fi I'm going to be dealing with, and it just kind of was an extra thing that I didn't want to have to worry about. Really,
are you going through withdrawals? I mean, a little bit.
You know,
I say that jokingly, but at the same time,
withdrawals is a strong word. I would say at this point, not really. In the past, I would be more like, man, it'd be really nice to play in the evening, in the afternoon, evening time when there's nothing going on. It's like it would be really nice to sit down, just play some video games for a couple hours. But at this point, I'm actually a little bit better. The game's actually been frustrating me more recently. For those people who don't know this game, it's five real people versus five real people, and you're playing with different people every time, so it's very hit or miss.
Yeah.
With the quality of players that you're playing with.
My brother almost was a professional League of Legends player, so I know it well.
Some people give up very fast. As we know, things don't go right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Things tend to go wrong a lot.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong and you quit, that just ruins it for everybody else. And that was happening to me a lot recently. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
I just don't want to deal with this. So I'm playing a lot of Hearthstone. And one person versus one person card game is a little bit slower tempo. And I can do other stuff. I can read or I can do other stuff while that's happening. But it is definitely probably my favorite hobby to do, and something I enjoy a lot. Yeah.
When are you going to start coming and joining me at the poker tables?
When you teach me how to be good at poker.
Okay.
I think I don't. Online poker is interesting. online poker is an interesting thing. It's kind of something that I don't want to get involved with, you know, a little bit. Part of me is like, I don't even want to be involved with it because I don't know what kind of rabbit hole I might end up going down with my personality. If I actually get really interested in it and start tying my bank accounts to the prize tables and who knows where I end up. I might end up on your local side of the road with in a box. I don't know.
As someone who also has an addictive personality, for some reason that is one area where I've been able to compartmentalize and just say this, I'm going to set aside X amount of money, and if I lose that money, I don't get to do anymore.
Right.
And I've been lucky or good enough that I've made a deposit.
Right.
A singular deposit that I made in 2002 or 2003.
That's pretty cool.
And I haven't.
That's very cool.
I haven't had to make another deposit.
That's
since,
a very cool distinction.
Yeah,
that's distinction. Yeah, that's awesome.
Pleased
very
with
awesome.
That.
Yeah,
so.
Very awesome.
But yeah, I'm gonna go to the Crown here in just a couple minutes. And
see, I've lost a little bit of money at the Crown. I don't let myself walk into the Crown. I'm staying right by the Crown, and I, not a lot, but just, you know, I would say that. From extensive research inside of the casinos, I'm not a lucky person. I'm not a lucky person, and there's only so many times you can do something and be like, you know what, maybe this isn't for us. Maybe we have to work hard at things, and then maybe something good will happen.
That's the beauty of poker.
Right.
Like
there's skill involved.
There is a slight bit of luck that is always factored in, right? But if you have the ability,
there's a reason why certain players end up in the final tables of poker tournaments when you're starting with whatever thousands of players.
Exactly.
There's a reason why those guys, a lot of the same guys you see, there's a lot more involved, and you're playing the other players.
Yeah.
You're not really playing the cards as much as you're playing the other players.
Exactly.
But the thing at a casino, I mean, it's different if you're playing poker at a casino, but if you're just playing casino games, that's not a thing.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
You're not playing as a dealer.
Right.
And I've had some very nice dealers that have taken a chunk of change from me. Very nice. Many big
good
smiles.
People. Good
great people.
People.
I tipped them even. I had like whatever, $2 left, and it's like, well, I can't play hands, so here you go. Like you took everything. You might as well give you the rest of it.
The good thing about the Crown and here in Australia, you don't get to tip them. It's illegal for them to accept tips.
That's a little strange.
The whole non-tipping in the States or in Australia is weird as it is.
Right. You would think that would affect the service industry a little bit, but it doesn't
seem like
it. But
they get paid
more. They get paid more.
They get paid more as a base salary versus what they do in the States.
Got you. Interesting. Okay. Right.
All right. We're going to shift topics completely.
Okay.
Another thing we've not talked about on air, but you and I have talked about extensively off air, is politics.
Yes.
You are not somebody who talks too much about it in terms of your social media. I would say your likes and things have shown that, and so people pay attention to those types of things.
People seem to pay a lot of attention to Twitter likes.
It's something I don't understand, but that's a topic for a completely different day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go about it in this way. I have found you, because you and I talk, and I think you're listening to me.
I just put on my listening face when in reality I'm not listening.
I'm not listening to you. But I think you're listening to me. I try to listen to you. And I think my personal opinion, even though you and I differ on a lot of things politically, is that's the way this country should be. Not this country, because we're in Australia
now.
But
that's how every country should be, essentially.
The fact that you and I have a completely different side, a way of thinking in some aspects.
Right.
But I want to learn from you. I think you want to learn from me, and that's how it should be. And I'm wondering how you, right now, view the current state of politics in our country. Not from my team's winning, my team's losing, but in terms of
there's a lot of teams. Yeah.
How the discourse is going.
I think we've forgotten that. What's really important is, and I know this, is that I don't know everything, and I know very little of a lot of things, and to think that my opinion would be right, which is my opinion, would be right on all things that I think all the time is would be a ridiculous thing. I have opinions, and I try and do research and make sure that it's bound with some sort of factual backing. But to think that even my conclusions would be correct all the time is would be silly, you know. So to not talk with somebody, especially somebody that may hold different opinions like you do. I'd be more conservative, you'd be more progressive. I'm not going to learn a lot from another conservative individual that would take what I would say and be like, oh, that sounds right. Whereas if somebody that doesn't necessarily think the same thing would challenge me, and then we could either I could change my mind, which I'm very open to, because again, I don't know everything. I have ideas, but those ideas could be wrong. And the only way that you would change somebody's mind is through dialogue, and through productive discussion. And especially as friends, you know, what if you're not going to have productive discussion? What are you going to do? Are you going to fight? Are you going to get offended when somebody says something that is counter to your worldview? I think you need to be willing to change your worldview, or at least be open to other people's ideas. Because another point is that as what would be considered more conservative, you know, if there weren't any people that were more progressive, we would never get anywhere. We wouldn't progress. We would stay very centered in the things that we always did. And then if there were only progressives, and maybe we'd forget the past too much and go off into too much new territory too quickly. So the one side needs the other side to help kind of counterbalance and make sure we're headed in the right direction, more so than if just one particular side had too much control or too much say or too much sway. So I think it's important to remember that we need each other. We need each other, and not just from ideas, but we need support from each other. We need support in our communities, and to think that because of your views that you're either A, like better than somebody else because I hold a certain view, and if you don't hold it, then who are you? It's like that's ridiculous, and to think that you can't learn something from other people is also ridiculous. So I'm generally very open, and I like discussing and talking about it, because it is an interesting time in the political sphere, and it's an interesting time culturally, and it is stimulating conversation, and I do enjoy it. Yeah.
I had a talk, God, it might be 2 years ago now, with one of my closest friends, and it was when things were starting to feel very fractured, when Trump was just starting to become more of a mainstream figure, like, you know, this is a real possibility here.
Right.
And I said, do you think it's possible we could be heading towards a civil war? Mm-hmm. And I said it kind of jokingly, and then I actually talked over these holidays, you know, had the same conversation with the same person, and it kind of got real. And I don't mean a civil war in terms of just like a north and south and fight it out, but we're so fractured, right?
Right.
There's no way around that.
Right.
From your perspective, how do we go about healing that? How do we get to a point where we have heads of political parties who are saying we're not always right?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I say that from both sides, because
I think it starts first and foremost with each individual person, and to make sure each individual person is doing their respective jobs in controlling the amount of venom that they put into certain dialogues. I mean, and make sure that they're being responsible citizens. And that goes in a lot of different aspects, but I think it starts with each person looking at themselves first. And then if you were to do that, then you can start talking about, okay, well, then how do we get to a certain place? I mean, you can only have volatile politicians if this society at large is maybe a little bit volatile. Mm-hmm. You would see that as an extension of the citizens versus the politician then sways people to be to their view. It's not how it works. People have a view, and then a politician taps into that particular view, and then they become elected because people support that. So I would say that it starts with individual people, definitely looking at being honest with themselves and being honest with how they're treating their families, first of all, and then the people that they interact with. How are you going about treating them? Because that's really important. I think we've lost that a little bit. We've definitely lost that a little bit. We maybe think that because of social media, we have either more sway than we actually do. So maybe you start disregarding the people that are close to you in the close interpersonal relationships that you have. It is easy to get a little bit lost. The world at large has gotten smaller, but in a way larger. There's way more stuff going on, and it's easy to get trapped up in things that are happening on a bigger sphere, whereas you maybe disregard some of the things that you can control at hand. Mm-hmm. With your individual families and people close to you. As far as the Civil War, it's interesting. It's interesting to me to think that, for somebody to think that that wouldn't be something that could happen, because it's almost like, when has it not happened? It's almost like something that could be something that's inevitable. Like, it's inevitable that a society fractures to the point where one side tries to dominate the other side, or vice versa, and sides clash, and yeah. It could be even multiple sides with kind of how we are at now, and it's certainly is something in a in a multicultural society where people kind of pick teams.
Yeah.
There's a lot of team picking, not just in the political sphere, but in a multicultural sphere, and that's also very dangerous, because that takes the responsibility off the individual person and
yep.
puts it to the group at large. And what's the best thing for the group at large to do for the group? It's like, well, the first group we're a part of is citizens of the U.S. and we need to remember that, I think, and each you would hope, and I think that's true, that people, no matter the differing views, is that they want what's best for the country and for their fellow man, and that's what the other person wants. They don't want some terrible world that you might think that they're vying for. It's like, that's not the case at all. It's just different ideas on how to best either govern or to structure society. But if the best is at heart, then you can have a discussion that is productive and get somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle is generally a good place.
Correct.
Somewhere in the middle is generally a good place. And to get to the middle, you need people from not extreme sides, but from differing sides.
The middle of each side.
Right. And then you have more of a centrist view. And I think maybe if you do that, you head in the right direction.
Yeah.
You head in the right direction. You don't veer off too far either way or go backwards. You head forth kind of with the best of both. And I think that's the way that at least political discourse and dialogue and should go. Yeah.
So I've been trying to, like, I made a choice November, December. I was kind of struggling a little bit personally myself, and I found myself saying, one thing I can do every day is I'm going to make sure every day I do a social media post that is positive.
Right.
So I've been hashtagging PPOTD, positive post of the day, because right. It's just a mentality for me
right.
personally to try and make an impact that's positive each day. And I relate this to you. You obviously have a reputation on court, mm-hmm. Which I know is something you've obviously been working on.
Yeah.
But outside of that, and this is a question I get asked about you specifically all the time, what are you like off the court? And I know this is something your mom is especially proud of, is the fact that even when you lose, even when you've had a terrible day, even if you've maybe had some bad behavior on the court, as soon as you get off the court, it's very important for you to make sure you're signing a ball for a kid. And I'm wondering how that was instilled in you by your family, and why you continue to try to make that a priority, and when you have that dichotomy of being on the court versus
right.
off the court.
Right. I would say in general, off the court, I would say that I try and be as personable or as at least have good interactions with all the people that I come into contact with, which is sometimes it seems like a lot of people on a day-to-day basis, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending if I played a match or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
and you're interacting with more fans. But I try and have those interactions be positive, not just for... I would be lying if I said it's just for them, but it's good for me too. It's good to have these things in your life be a positive versus brush people off or storm off the court. That's not very healthy. And I think because I do struggle with that on the court sometimes, it feels like I'm not really being myself. I'm being something else that I don't want to be. And it's a struggle. And that means that when I do have good days, that feels good. And I definitely have my off days and bad days where I don't behave the way that I know that I can and the way that I want to. That there definitely needs to be that balance, at least, of treating people the correct way, not having... Sometimes it feels like a shield. Like, well, I was on the court, so it wasn't that bad. If you're not allowed to curse on the occasion, because that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse. It's a thing. it could be a reason.
Yeah.
Like I get frustrated on the court due to whatever, tough calls or not playing well, not playing my best. But that's a reason, but it's not an excuse, you know? So I think it's a very important thing to treat people, the old, you know, saying, treat people how you'd like to be treated. I think I've at least understood, I think that I have a little bit more weight behind my interactions, especially around the tennis sphere. And I should use that appropriately and not inappropriately. And I'm trying to do that, and I'm trying to continue to improve on that, especially on the court. It's difficult for me. It seems like when I try to tone it down, so to speak, it's like I'm not really engaging in the match the way that I would like to.
Yeah.
So it's like it's very difficult when that feels like it's a thing where it's
when
don't yell at everybody, but also engage. It's like, well, where's the balance? It's like I'm trying to find the balance,
right.
And it's a difficult balance to find. It's a difficult balance to find, especially in terms of how do you compete well.
Players with emotion, finding the balance of that, it's
very difficult.
It's
very difficult. It is a difficult thing because you want to engage as best you can, but it's like with that engagement comes the opportunity for it to sway the wrong direction.
Right.
And the idea that there won't be any adversity in the match is stupid. There's always adversity. There's always some sort of adversity, something you have to overcome in a way.
Yeah.
And it's like when I feel like I open myself up to competing as hard as I can in the match, it's almost like that's always a possibility. That's always something that could happen. It could go badly. I could react in a negative way to the stimuli that's going on the court. Where that comes from is, you know, the good parts, at least I would say my parents and my family and my upbringing. My dad was somebody that really disliked when I got that way on the court, heated, kind of emotional, aggravated. He disliked it greatly, and would kind of just walk away. Would just be like, I can't watch you do that, whether it's practice court or match court. It's like, I just don't want to be. He enjoyed playing the game. He liked to play tennis, and he did not like to see the game portrayed in that way. And my mom and I have more similar personalities, and she was my coach, and we'd butt heads like crazy sometimes because we both would see things a certain way, and we want our way, and not because we're stubborn, but it's like, I think this is the best way, and she thought this was the best way.
Yeah.
And so we'd butt heads, and we'd fight, and I think because our personalities are so similar, we have a great relationship. We have a fantastic relationship to this day, and I think we'd be able to understand each other at least in those moments. But I could certainly see, no matter how bad sometimes I get on the court in ways, if I didn't have them, I think it could be infinitely worse.
Yeah.
They definitely help steer me in positive directions and to try and overcome some of these negative things that happen to me on the court.
Well, this is the point of the day. I'm not surprised we actually ran over. I tend to keep this with about half an hour, but I'm not surprised you and I went over half an hour together. This is the portion of the Cation Cast, the Coffee Cast with Cation. I still have to get the name right myself, and that's a bad thing. But the point of this for me is to give you as a player a voice, and I try to make sure you guys have an opportunity to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. And I, floor's yours if you've got something.
I have the floor. I have the floor.
This is your time on the Senate floor to just.
do I stump out? Are we like 11 minutes straight? Are we 11 hours straight? Sorry. Am I waiting? Is this like a fasting thing?
I now yield to the gentleman from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Do I fast on the Cation Cast the whole thing through? You mentioned that people have talked about, you know, recognition of guys around my ranking, that don't have the exposure. It's an interesting dynamic because you only have exposure for if it's economically viable. If the tour, you know, garners money, they're not out just for the money, but if they're garnering money from pushing you out there, building you up, you know, on a whatever entertainment value, then they will do that. And if there's nothing to be really gained, why would they do that? So it's like, it's kind of a double-edged sword in that way for the player, because it's like, you need to win more, because there's you can complain about there not being enough money or whatever, and there's only so much viability for a certain amount of players, and that's dictated by whatever they can bring in through advertisements, through TV deals, and things like that. So it's not, you could say it's unfair, but it's only fair because that's just what it is. You know, you can't just bring in more money. It'd be nice to pay every 500 guys the same that they pay, you know, NFL players, or you make that, people make that
golfers.
Golfers. It's like, well, it's different markets. It's different markets, and there's different levels of what you can get out of it as far as advertising and as far as ticket sales and interest, just general interest. So it's tough. I mean, it's difficult because, I know, and a lot of guys, again, around where I am, know how tough it is. The competition is very staunch, and there's not a lot of room. There's only 100 guys, and there's only so many guys that get in the main draw of slams where you can make some money and things like that. But that being said, I just don't know how it could be different. You know, I don't know how it could be different in a way that you could increase exposure or increase money in a way that helps people from 100 to 150 and to 200 and things like that. So it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting. That being said, I would like to see more of, you see results of matches where the guy that's 90 in the world or 120 in the world that was playing mostly challengers comes up to an ATP and gets a big win, gets two big wins, or plays a guy super close that is really good, and that guy goes and wins a tournament. And I know from experience that the level is extraordinarily close. It's almost indistinguishable in watching two players play on the court when you have a guy that's mentally better or is either in maybe a little bit better shape or just more experienced in general, or is better self-confidence.
Right.
Things that you don't necessarily see that aren't tangible that you can just notice on a court. So it would benefit everybody involved if the players, when they are on the court, are built up in a way that is encouraging to the fans. Because I myself think, wow, this tennis is really good against two players of disparaging rankings or just different places.
Yeah.
There could be 100 spots between them. But the tennis, to me, looks incredibly high. They're playing a great level, and you couldn't really pick which guy was the top player. And then sometimes you get some comments that are, you know, the average, you know, the journeyman comments, wow, this guy, if he could only, or lady, that they could only, I remember this specific quote in a women's match, she had a big upset, and it's like, if she could only play this way, you think that she could be, you know, get ranked higher. It's like, well, what about the other 25 players that are ranked there now? You're saying they're not as good as her on her, it's like, there's only so many spots.
Right.
There's only so many spots, and everybody has a very high level of tennis in them, and it's whether or not they can bring it out on a consistent basis. We're talking 30 to 35 weeks a year. That's a lot. It's requiring a lot of consistency to get ranked at these very high rankings. And not only the really high top level, but the consistency and your ability to bring that level out. So it's difficult on many different facets, but I just think that when you have the product already out there, when it's, you could talk about how to get more of those players into a spotlight situation, but how about just when they're in the spotlight situation, you build them up.
Yeah.
When the tennis is good, don't be naive about it. If the tennis isn't good, then you can say that too. But when it's good and there's equal level being played, build up the players.
Yeah.
You know, build up the players, and because it makes your product look better too. It doesn't help anybody to say, well, wow, this guy's 100 in the world. Look at him play. Like, why is he not bringing this level? All it's like, the fans don't want to hear that.
Right.
They want to hear, wow, look at this guy. This shows the depth of the game. And both the men's and the women's tours. Look at the guy or girl players ranked 150 in the world, and look at the level they're bringing. It's amazing. That shows the depth, and it shows how hard it is to make it breakthrough into the top 10, and that shows how good the guys in the top 10 are,
right?
Because they were able to do that.
Yep.
And able to stay there. It's like, it makes everybody look better when that's not being dishonest, that's being just truthful, because that's the way I see it anyway, is that the levels are that close.
Yeah.
Levels are that close.
If I can do a quick plug, I mean, I think that's why what we've been doing on the USTA Pro Circuit has been, in my opinion, it's important. I don't know if other people outside of of maybe some of the players, and, you know, like
I was about to say I'm biased, but yeah, I'm biased because I play a lot, but I think it is important because the players wouldn't have quote unquote a voice, really. I mean, I know that's kind of the plug on the podcast, to give the players a voice, but it, you know, you kind of just play in obscurity a lot of the time, and to have the quality of the streams and the quality of the caster.
There's a singular.
The caster with the occasional fill-in every 35 days. I think it's a big deal, and yeah. It's hard to put a finger on why. Again, I'm biased. It's hard to put a finger on why it's a big deal. I think to have the product available to more people at any time, I think, is valuable to the rest of the tennis sphere.
Yes.
I think it's valuable to the rest of the tennis sphere. And
I think there's credibility because, again, this is going to go potentially off into a tangent, but credibility now is not how credibility was built, say, even 15, 20 years ago. Credibility now is about just notoriety, I think.
Right.
I think that is a word that's now interchangeable.
Right.
And if you, Tennis Sangren, if people have seen you on television as opposed to maybe read about you,
right,
or maybe right. once saw you once at Wimbledon, but maybe right, now right, they've right. seen you on streams a couple of times,
right,
and now they've seen you on Tennis Channel Plus on some of the ATP 250s now,
right.
you have credibility, whereas
right.
15 years ago, you're just a dude, right?
Right.
So I think those type of things,
that's the fact
that we do have a stream, that Tennis Channel Plus is a stream, I think it lends credibility, and I'm hoping that the broadcasters, this is one of my pet peeves, and I could go on a tangent for a while. I hope the broadcasters take that seriously.
Right, right, right. Well, another part about credibility is that it hurts your credibility a lot as a player if your product is not available.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just unavailable,
yep.
It because what is the consumer? The consumers are smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not available for a reason, right? Because there's not interest, right? There's no interest, so
yep.
there's no interest. There's no. There is no access to what you're putting out there because it's not worthwhile.
Right.
It's not worthwhile. So why would, when you do show up on a stage, why would it be a thing? Why do we need to build you up? Because
right.
you're not even
yeah.
worthwhile when you play, you know, the other 28 weeks of the year.
Yep.
And there's truth to that. There is truth to that. So the fact that there is availability, there is. the high quality, I could be biased, but I enjoy watching some of the matches in the streams, and I don't really like watching tennis a whole lot. I don't, but it is, except for the Stockton viewing. That was tough. The Stockton viewing was tough. It looked like a sheet of glass was over the camera lens because of the glare of the sun.
I have no comment.
But you know, it's high quality.
You texted me.
It's
about
high
that.
Quality, and it is relevant. It is yep. relevant because it's available, and it gets a fair amount of views. As far as viewings are concerned.
Yeah.
It gets a fair amount of views. And that's a good thing. Very good thing.
I'm going to end with this fact. You have, Mr. Sangren, one Twitch follower.
Yes. Is it you?
Yes.
High five. Team high five. Yes.
Am I allowed Amazing. To give you the name, or would you prefer I don't?
No, there's no reason to.
Okay, I will.
You don't
not.
Need to tune in for any content coming in soon.
You don't do it.
There's just no reason to right now. I appreciate you being willing to do that to give me a plug, but now people are gonna go clamor to the channel like,
they won't be able to find
where are the past broadcasts? Where's the donation page? Not that anybody would be wanting to donate, but. You know, there's nothing there. It's a ghost town. It doesn't exist. So we'll figure it out. We'll keep.
I've got a guy
on.
Who does designs. Who's doing one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Look a brother up.
You know? Let me know.
Just give me an email.
He's working on mine right now, so that once awesome. I get done with Dallas, I can start streaming poker again.
Fantastic.
I also upgraded my internet so that I can. I was at the same point you are.
Yes.
Because I'm on online poker and I couldn't stream Pandora. And
see,
I'm just like,
that's amazing.
That's a problem.
These are a low amount of bits between poker and Pandora. This is not high. This
I should
not
be
high
able
level.
To do that.
If you plugged in like an Echo or like an Alexa or something
yeah.
like that, your apartment would explode. I
yes.
think that's what that's
yeah.
saying.
And like, I got a Google Mini for Christmas. I'm like, it's just going to be a paperweight for the moment.
Ask a question, no response. 5 minutes later, It's currently 35 degrees outside. Like,
it's 2 a.m.
You've already left. You've already left the apartment with inadequate clothing because you couldn't
condo,
get the answer.
Condo.
Sorry.
Come on, I have a little class.
Sorry. I don't even really know the difference, to be honest. I really don't.
Condo is one I have a mortgage for.
Ah, so you own. You have the deed.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, class. Yeah. I see it.
Class.
Right, got you.
Oh, yeah. When, and I learned. When you see me, class.
And I learned something on the coffee cast. Cation coffee cast. I learned something.
The cast of things. But I'll start with C. Tennis, as always, it's been enlightening.
Been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. And Liam Brody coming up on the next podcast. And don't forget, you can support us and buy a cup of coffee. Patreon.com/MikeCTennis. Until next time.